Now, time to talk some racing, and Brad Davidson is joining us from Sky Racing. Morning, Brad.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Very well, thanks, mate. Now, I saw you having some hearty discussions on social media about the ride on Artorias. What did you make of its performance in the Platinum Jubilee Stakes, where it ran a very creditable third on the weekend?
Yeah, look, guys, I think the horse was simply outstanding. He could not have run better, you know, in that race. But, yeah, I mean, I had a bit of discussions on socials there on the weekend. Guys, I'm a big believer that a race is won or lost so often in the first furlong. And, you know, he is a horse, we know, that gets back a long way. But it's really, for me, it's really important for those horses to be in touch, to be within striking distance at the 400-metre mark. So, you know, when you're at the back of the field, one or two lengths is just paramount. It's crucial. And for me, they lost the race there on Artorias in the first 300 metres. They were just so negative, and it meant that at the 400-metre mark, he was in a different postcode to the leader. And from there, you just put yourself in a position where you need absolutely everything to go right. You need tempo. You need all the gaps. You need everything. And you take yourself from a 10-to-1 pop to about a 40-to-1 pop. And as you saw late, he obviously got held up and you know, should have won the race. But for me, it was all about that first 300 metres. If they just, you know, you watch his Blue Diamond win, he was able to settle in front of one or two. He was able to just stay in touch. And that's the key. When you get so far out the back and you're basically a length and a half off the last horse, it's just from there, it's just so hard. And when I watched the race, I thought, well, he can't win. You know, he's just got too much to do. And I thought the horse ran out of his skin. I think it was what could have been, really, for the team. But, yeah, I think they lost the race in the first 300 metres, guys.
Just on that then, Davo, and question without notice, and it's probably staring me in the face, this question, but is there a horse that changed its racing pattern dramatically that was a back marker that, you know, raced then up on speed that turned into a successful horse?
Oh, there's some that do. I mean, there's a fine line, no doubt, because a lot of people will say, oh, you ride them out of their comfort zone and they won't finish off. But it's not riding them out of their comfort zone. It's not like you're riding them upside down. All you're doing is you're just getting them. Yeah. You're holding your position, basically. You're not, you know, losing that ground that you don't need to lose for nothing. It's not like you're spending any more energy to be there, really. You know, you watch the Blue Diamond race. You're just given one or two little push-alongs in the first 200 metres and all of a sudden, you know, you're two lengths closer than you were. But when you're so negative early, you end up being about, you know, 15 lengths off the lead, and it's just too far. So there is a real fine line to it, because if you ride them upside down and you know you're up there midfield or better, then a lot of the times they won't finish off, and you know you got the chance of them over racing and whatnot. So there is a fine line to it, but yeah, as a spectator watching, a lot of the times, you know, when you see it and you go, well, you know, you can basically sit there sometimes and go, well, it can't win, because it's just so far back, and when you get so far back in races, you need way too much to go right. So you need to give those sort of low percentage horses just every chance. And for me, it's all about the first 300-400 metres in races with those types of horses.
Chris Waller, a big day at Rose Hill, not for the first time.
No, 5 winners. And good to see Wicklow bounce back as well. You know, he was one that has had a bit of a boom on him and a little bit disappointing first up. But like a lot of horses off long breaks, they just sometimes need that run. And he was probably in that camp, so for him to bounce back over the same trip was ideal. But yeah, 5 winners across the day, a number of good winners there at Rose Hill, and yeah, trained half the card.
What have you made of Willie Pike since he's been over here, Dava?
I must admit, when he first got here, I sort of thought to myself, I'm not sure, because you know you're a big fish in a small pond in WA, and you come over here and it's a lot more competitive, and I thought you're probably not going to get the support and all this sort of stuff. But he has just really, you know, it took a little while to settle in, I think it's fair to say. But, I mean, he's right on Skyman at Rose Hill on the weekend. It was just, for any young jockey out there that wants to know how to ride a track that's playing fence and run, well, that's the way you ride, you know. This is a great example of a so-called backmarker. He had it third the fence, and you know, you needed to be on the fence there on the weekend. He knew that. It's amazing. Some jockeys really got that and understood it, and then some seemed a little bit oblivious to it. So he was one that was just completely switched on, and I think he's right on Skyman, just shows how well he's going. And he had a third defence behind the leader. He was on the right part of the track. Yes, he got held up a touch at the top of the straight, but it didn't matter, because he was within touch, and it meant that you know, you could still get held up for 100 metres and overcome that, you know, that bad luck and still win the race easily. So his ride was outstanding. You have a double there. I think he's going to be a real force next season if he gets the support. You know, he's done it on a number of occasions now. Canterbury a few weeks ago on Cruel Summer, the exact same scenario. You needed to be on the fence. You put the horse in the race early. He found the fence, third the fence, and from there it was game over. He was a $1.50 pop. And that's that intent I talk about in the first 200 metres. He seems to really have it, Will. He's understanding that, and you know, he's getting the results as a result.
I reckon we might be following a horse that Loz had in his multi on the weekend. It's the first time we've mentioned it, Loz. We won't mention it again.
Don't mention it again.
What are we following, though, Davo?
Yeah, so following Ozapenko. Didn't get the cash there, Loz, on the weekend, but he's a bit stiff. Probably one of the only horses on the day to really run on against the pattern, which was fence in run. So he didn't find the fence from barrier 2-1 kicked up inside him. But, you know, I spoke it about a couple of weeks ago, guys, this obsession with getting cover, and I don't know if it was sort of tactics pre-race or what, but I think the decision to sort of take cover there and get three lengths off the lead was the difference, because then he had to chase off a real soft speed with 59 kilos. And the horse was the run in the race by country mile, but he just got way too far back early and on the wrong part of the track. And that was the difference between winning and losing. So he's a horse that I think will be winning next time out, wherever he goes, really. His run in the race was simply outstanding.
Any horse disappoint you?
Yeah, I think Per Inaway. I mean, it got the perfect run there on the fence and sort of presented and didn't really do a great deal in the straight. So when they sort of on the right part of the track as favourites and they're not able to finish the race off, did get all the favours at its Australian debut as well. So it might be one that I'm half keen to take on next time out. I mean, you know, this time of the year it's all about where they're placed and whatnot, but I thought it could have offered a little bit more in the straight there, Per Inaway, on Saturday.
Thank you, Davo. Looking forward to your midweek mail tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.